Thank you, Lee, Natalie. Hey, guys, if you'll get your outlines out, we're going to be talking about faith today. It's been on my mind all week. The highlight of my week, aside from getting here, is that I got to speak to the middle school FCA this week. And I tell you, it was absolutely wonderful. I enjoyed it. I want to do it again. He texted me and thanked me, and he said, just call me anytime. There is nothing that I enjoy doing more than sharing my faith. And I love being here. I told the 9 o'clock service this morning, I love doing this so much that I could probably pay y'all. I'm not, but I would probably pay y'all to let me do this. I mean, I just love it. Just like Holly loves being in Iraq. You know, I mean, I just love it. And so we're going to spend the next few moments talking about faith, a real faith. And I know some of you guys may be used to 3 points, but I have 8 points in there. And they're going to go by kind of fast. And a real faith is not always in order. Real faith is not always cookie cutter and hallelujah and God bless you. Sometimes there's struggles in faith, a real faith. You know, trying to do the right thing, trying to do to say the right thing, being in the right places gets kind of tiring sometimes, don't it? It gets kind of weary. And some people tell me that are kind of looking at living a life of faith, say, you know, I don't know. I look at the people who are living this kind of life, and it just doesn't seem attractive to me. And I said, why? He said, well, people of faith just don't seem to be very real. They seem to be fake sometimes. And they wear these painted smiles. And what I mean by that is, you know, I've told you before, I've talked to people, and I know they're hurting. I know their family's being torn apart and everything. I say, how you doing? Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. But you know what? I know you're hurting. And everything's not good. Not right now. Sometimes we have struggles, and, you know, you don't have to be fake with me. So I want you to make sure it's the real thing when you're looking at folks with about faith. There's phony and fake faith out there, kind of like this reality TV that we see now. They say reality, but it's scripted. And so we want to look at the faith that's not scripted. So what does real faith look like? And I'm looking at a character, a man in the Bible named Peter. Peter was my pawpaw's favorite man in the Bible. And Peter lived a real faith. He lived a real faith because Jesus said he did. And we can look at the ups and downs in his life, and we can see it throughout all the pages of the Bible. But like I said, I'm going to narrow it down to 8 today. We're going to jump in it real quick so I don't keep you here, you know, till this evening. But Peter shows that real faith includes this. Number one, feeling unworthy of God's presence. Feeling unworthy of God's presence. You know, if you think you're going to feel loved all the time when you become a Christian, it's just not true. Because sometimes you're going to feel unworthy of His presence. Look at the first verse, Luke 5:8. This is what Peter said. When Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." You're going to feel like you can't be a person of faith. You're going to feel like you're unworthy. I want to tell you something. If you ever felt unworthy, join the club. Moses, Mary, Peter, all throughout the Bible. I mean, to be honest, if we're honestly thinking, I mean, he's God and we ain't. You know, we're going to feel unworthy. But here's the thing about God. He draws us near. Wherever we feel unworthy or not, he brings us near. So I just want to tell you, you know, let me talk to you, somebody who struggled with insecurities most of his life. I want to tell you, don't worry. Don't try to feel worthy of God's presence. Because the harder you try, the more you look at yourself and realize that you're really not worthy. What I want you to do is just accept the fact that Jesus has invited you in. And Jesus has made you worthy. Just accept that. That's a real life of faith. Because you're going to feel unworthy sometimes. The second thing is this. Peter shows that real faith includes this. Doubt at the very moment of triumph. Doubt at the moment of, at the very top of your faith moment, at the very pinnacle of it, doubt's going to happen. I guarantee you, doubt's going to happen. Once you make this move, once you're going to do this, doubt's going to happen. It happened to Peter. Look at Matthew 14. Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. I got to tell you, I got to believe that's the very pinnacle of Peter's faith. He walked on water. Not many folks have been able to do that. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Peter walked on water. It was just a few steps, but he got out of the boat and he walked on the water. But then he sees the waves and he hears the wind and he gets scared and he begins to sink. Guys, that's what real faith looks like. Real faith looks like that. To launch out. I'm talking about maybe that you've done something that you've never done before. Whether it's in ministry or in the community, and all of a sudden doubt hits. You know what I'm talking about? At the very moment, at the very peak of your triumph, doubt hits. If it's just to start a relationship with Jesus. And I guarantee you, probably a coworker or a friend is going to say, "You become a Christian? Are you kidding me? You got to be kidding me." Maybe you're wanting to start a ministry. You believe that God is calling you out to start a ministry. And you get this feeling, "Who am I? Who am I to do this?" Or maybe somebody told you like they told me, "Who are you? Who are you to start a church? You got to be kidding me. Who do you think you are that you can change the world?" And you'll take your eyes off just a little bit and you'll begin to sink. You'll begin to sink. You'll begin to go down just a little bit. But here's what I want you to do. Don't fake it. What I mean by that is if you're sinking, don't fake it. I want you to admit it. Admit that you're scared. You know, because one of these reasons that you're sinking is because you're living a life of faith and you're faking it. You're not being real. I found out years ago, it was refreshing to admit that I was afraid. It was refreshing to admit that I got doubts. And it was okay that I had doubts because I found out that God was way bigger than my doubts. And that he was waiting, he was big enough to go across those waves and to rescue me from what was sinking me. Those waves were under his feet. And so I began to say, "You know what, I'm afraid. Would you pray for me?" Number three, Peter shows that real faith includes stupid statements that sound spiritual. It really does. Real faith includes stupid statements that sound spiritual. Sometimes you just say something stupid that sounds spiritual. I mean, Peter did it. And Jesus, where we're at here, Jesus was telling the disciples, you know, I'm going to get on the cross and I'm going to die for you. And look what Peter says. Heaven forbid, Lord, he said, this will never happen to you. Jesus turned to Peter and said, get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. So Peter had Jesus call him Satan. This ain't a good day. I want to tell you something. When somebody calls you Satan, especially if it's Jesus, it ain't a good day. But as someone who speaks a lot, I'm aware of how easy it is to say something stupid to sound spiritual. But that's also why I use God's Word a lot, because that's where the truth is. I know somebody asked me one time, said, how come you use so much Scripture? You put a lot of time in putting this Scripture in there. Well, the Scripture's where you find the truth. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I'm going to mess up and say something that what Jim wants to say. And so I want y'all to check it out. I don't want you to just go on everything that I say. I want you to check on everything. Because sometimes I say stupid stuff. So check what I mean, there's lots of cliches that Christians use out there that just really sound sort of stupid. And I want to give you some of them. Some of them have been used today. Some of them have been used in the 9 o'clock service. And I want you to say from now on, say, Jim says that's stupid. But here's one that's one of my all-time, I feel like it's stupid. It wasn't me, it was God. It wasn't me, it was God. And I hear it a lot from sports figures. Every once in a while you'll say, man, that was a fantastic catch. Well, that was God. I just yelled at the TV, no, it wasn't. It was a good catch, but it wasn't that good. I mean, if God called it, he would have jumped 50 foot in the air, split the field in half, and everybody would have a hot dog. It just wasn't that good. The point in saying that is we don't know how to take a compliment. Just take the compliment and say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Just simply say thank you. The second statement is sometimes they're not just stupid, they're just dead wrong. This one was told to me one time. Well, Jim, if you just had enough faith, you could be healed. That's not only stupid, it's just dead wrong. Because then it makes you feel like it's all your fault. I know God heals people. I've seen it. I've been a victim of God healing. But that statement says the reason that you're still sick, it's your fault. And it's just not true, because the Bible says you don't need a lot of faith. You just need enough, like the big as a mustard seed. So you don't need a whole lot of faith. So it's a wrong statement. Then the next one I was sharing with Paxton was a bumper sticker that I saw. It said this. I wrote it down when I saw it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, the truth is, God said it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter what you and I believe it or not. Amen? I just started laughing. Like whether I believe something or not determined whether God's word was right. It's just stupid. But we like cliches because we're afraid and we don't know exactly what to say. And this one is said a lot. Well, Jim, everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. I just want to say, shut up. But then I don't, because that would be me. But people say that just because they don't have nothing else to say. You know what the best thing that you could say is? I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. Number four. Peter shows that real faith includes this. Through your simple words. Your simple words that change the world. Simple words that change the world. Peter was at a place where he was in this town where there are whole lots of false gods and everything. And all the disciples were there and Jesus. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he asks, who do you think I am? Who do you say that I am? Look at Peter's reply. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, you're right. He said, Peter, you're the rock. I'm going to build my church on you. I'm going to build my church on that kind of faith. Those simple words changed everything. He even said it again after the resurrection in Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. He said, Jesus is the Christ. Simple words change the world. Serving someone in a simple way could change someone in a very extraordinary way. You may not even remember it, those simple words, but they did. I'll give you a case in point. I pulled up to the food pantry Thursday night. Pulled right behind Holly's car. And when I got in there, I said, she had this personalized tag. It said, 2 Corinthians 4. I said, Holly, what's going on with the tag? I said, I know 2 Corinthians 4 is about the jars of clay and all that, but what is it? She said, well, you told me. You said it in your sermon. And it changed my life. It changed her life enough to where she put it on her tag. And I didn't put it in the outline because I'd done sent the sermon in. But Holly, tell me if this was right. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. That's it, then. Simple words changed her life. Changed her life. Your simple words could change someone's life. So I don't want to dwell just on the stupid cliches. Simple words. Jesus is the Christ. Talk with faith. Speak with faith. Number five. Peter shows real faith includes this. Struggles to get relationships right. We're going to have struggles to get relationships right. You know, having faith in Christ doesn't take the struggles out of our marriage. Amen? Having faith in Christ doesn't take the struggles out of school, out of our friends. You know, it just doesn't. You know why? Because you're still selfish. You and I, we're still selfish. And so we struggle. You know, even the disciples. who were with Jesus for 3 years, they struggled with who was the greatest. You know, they ask, who's the greatest? And one time Peter was really having a struggle with someone. Look at this, Matthew 18. It says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, if my brother keeps on sinning against me, how many times do I have to forgive him? Seven times? No, not seven times, answered Jesus, but 70 times seven. Now, I was sitting here reading this. I didn't know if he was talking about his brother, his literal brother, Andrew, or somebody, but I thought, here's the deal. Because everything I've learned about Peter is he's pretty literal. He said, I just had to forgive him seven times. Here's what I came to. Somebody had just sinned against Peter for the eighth time. For the eighth time. And he said, all right, God, am I done with him now? Can I stop forgiving him? That was number eight. He said, no. He said, 70 times seven. Jesus raised the bar so much higher. He raised it so high that Peter couldn't forgive on his own power. And that's where Jesus wants us. He wants the bar so high that we can't do it on our power. That we can only do it on his power. So we need him. We need his power. Number six, Peter shows that real faith includes this. Failure that you never thought possible. Failure that you never thought possible. Peter denied Jesus three times. And he never thought this was possible. Matthew 26:33 says, Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Never. I tell you guys, sometimes your faith's going to hit something that will shake you to the very core, just like when the Titanic hit the iceberg. It's going to make you deny the very one who loves you the most. It's what real faith looks like. It's what it really, really looks like. What do you do when that happens? Look at Luke 22. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Let me also read you verse 31, 32 out of that same verse. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. I want to give you four things to do when you fail. Or four things to do when someone has failed you. Write these down. The very first thing I want you to do is I want you to look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. I want you to lock eyes with him when you fail or when you feel like somebody's failed you. I want to tell you something, that Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to love you. So don't lock eyes with the failures in your life. I want you to lock eyes with Jesus Christ. The second thing I want you to do, according to Scripture, is weep. Instead of making excuses, instead of blaming other people, I think you ought to have just open, honest tears. It's okay to cry and not blame other folks. Then thirdly, I want you to turn back to God's way. I'm going to tell you something. God still has the same purpose for your life. You fail, it's okay. God's plan for you hasn't changed. There is no plan B. You're still to fulfill his plan for you. And number four, I love what he said. Strengthen others. Strengthen others. There are people out there that's faced the same failures that you have. And the same hurts that you have caused and maybe someone has caused in your life. Real faith has failures. Real faith has failures. Number seven, Peter shows that real faith includes miracles beyond your wildest dreams. Miracles beyond your wildest dreams. God's doing things through your life that you never thought possible. I put some verses in your outline that I'd love for you to go back and read. But here they are in a nutshell. I want you to take them with you and read them over. But it says Peter preached, and 3,000 people are saved and baptized. Then Peter spoke to a man that couldn't walk, and he walked. Peter was put in prison. The chains fell off and the doors flew open, and Peter walked out of that prison. Peter was walking down the street and his shadow healed someone. That's a miracle. And I'm going to tell you something about God still doing miracles today. Not only medical miracles, but that let me scratch my head. That thing we prayed for a while ago, this relationship to be restored, I'm going to tell you something. God can do miracles in relationships too. And I've seen marriages restored that people told me would never happen. But I said, yes, they will. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ, they can be restored. Those are miracles. Those are miracles. I've seen folks come to know Christ. I tell you, I'm a miracle in that. That I would come to know Christ. In the life that I was leading. I hear people still today, Jim, you'll never get him to know Christ. I said, I still believe. I still believe there's miracles. I still believe God is working. I've seen folks leading and speaking that were quiet and sat on the sideline. God still wants to do a miracle in your life. Number 8, Peter shows that real faith includes this, stumbling at a point of great success. Peter had great success. He introduced the Gentiles to Jesus Christ. Did y'all know that? And one of the ways he went to them, and he says, you know what? God showed me this sheet that everything was edible on the planet. See, he was Jewish, and he couldn't eat a lot of things that the Gentiles were eating. He says, you know what? I can eat those pork chops with you. He said, I can even have them chicken livers. See, it's okay if I have chicken livers. But Peter said, it's okay. I'm going to eat with you. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. God didn't show favoritism between the Jews and the Gentiles. And Peter was the first one to do that. But then I want you to look at this next verse, what Paul said to him. When Peter came to Antioch, Paul said, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Do y'all know what Peter was in the wrong about? He had stopped eating with the Gentiles. Do you know why? Because some highfalutin Jewish people were coming to town. He says, you know what? I need to stop hanging out with them. I need to stop eating with them, because I got some Jewish friends that's coming, and they're legalist and they're non-Gentile, and I don't want to get criticized for eating with the Gentiles. And Paul said, you're clearly in the wrong. He said, Peter, you are wrong. You led them to Christ in the first place. And now you want to get all pious and high and mighty? And you want to stop hanging around them? You see, that could happen to us. We could stumble. Whether it be financial or sexual immorality. And it happens to us like this, little by little. Little by little. Taking away a little chip at a time. We become judgmental at other folks. Hating them because they sin differently than we do. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves miles away from God. That's why we need each other. We need each other to hold each other accountable. You need to be regularly meeting with folks. Then I want to tell you something about else. When you stumble, you need to get up. You need to get up. You know, real faith is not like the ice skating in the Olympics. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Once they fall, they're done. There's no way they're going to win. It's over. Real faith is you can get up. You can continue on. Guys, just because you're in front doesn't mean that you can't fail. You can't fail. And I want to tell you something. When you do fail, when you do stumble, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time to get up. But I encourage you to get up and keep going. Well, it's time to go. But I do want to tell you that the two words. I could have probably just said this in two words, but like I said, I like to talk. But the key through it all is this: follow me. Follow me. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Then Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Follow me. It's about following him. Real faith is messy. Real faith is not perfect. We're misfits. And we need Jesus in a personal Savior way. We're all a bunch of messes. But Jesus loves messes. And I sure am glad. But the key to it is, would you follow him today? If you're kind of kicking the tires of Christianity, I want to encourage you today to follow him. Well, there are going to be struggles. You're going to say stupid things. And there's also going to be miracles. He's also going to pick you up. Real faith is not perfection. But he loves us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for a time to get together with folks that I love. Lord, I lift these things up that you're going to have us doing in 2015. As hopefully we're going to start that new church and that retreat center out back and the house for battered ladies. Lord, I've had two call me this week, and it makes me mad. But, Lord, we're going to need real people of faith that when they stumble, they get up. That they don't mind getting messy. And Lord, for that person that's kind of mulling over the idea of following you, I pray that they start that today. Help us be a church that helps them. We pray these things in your name. Amen.